Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
But needless to say, nobody at that meeting identified themselves as a prosecutor of any agency at that point. Did you recall that?
At that meeting, there were individuals that were speaking. At that point, they did not represent whether they were law enforcement, whether the only one that stood out that seemed different to me was an individual that claimed to be with FBI. And I thought that was different just because you don't normally deal with the FBI.
Okay. Now, during the call that you recorded, I heard reference to a family attorney.
Yes, sir.
You heard that as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
Did you get the impression from the phone call that, or did you get the impression that the suggestion was that this was a family matter?
I got the impression that there was a civil situation going on because of two missing kids, and they gave me an attorney's number to go ahead and contact them. And so for being civil, criminal, at the time, I didn't know the difference, didn't care. I wanted to know about two kids.
Okay. But you did hear the reference by one of those folks, Chad or Lori, about it being a family attorney, correct?
I heard the reference to being attorney, whether family or not, I heard attorney.
Okay. Would it help you to refresh your recollection by listening to the tape?
Not necessarily. If you're saying that's what you heard, then we can do that. We can go there.
Okay. And did you hear a reference that about Garth giving them the number to contact Chad and Lori?
It was either, I think it was Garth that was given the number a few weeks earlier.
Okay. And a few weeks earlier from this recording would have been when?
I would probably, and this is a guess because I can't say and can't testify to it, but I would anticipate that it would be around the time of an exhumation.
Okay. And in regards to the exhumation,
big word.
Yeah, big, for me, it is.
Big word bonus for both of us.
Okay. In regards to the exhumation, did you have any information as to the length of time or how long that process took?
Not until it was mentioned by Chad in the phone call.
Okay.
What was involved, I had no idea.
Were you aware that the exhumation was just a one-day situation?
Objection, counsel is testifying, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Do you have any knowledge about the length of the exhumation?
Currently or previous or what time?
Right now.
Currently, I understand that it was a process that took 24 hours, I presume.
And according to the tape, what you understand, was it your understanding that Chad was not informed of that process until afterwards?
I don't think that anybody in the family was informed about the process, so it wouldn't surprise me that he wasn't either.
Okay. And the information you have is that you folks weren't advised of it, correct?
Negative. We were not.
And as far as you know, Tammy's mother and father weren't apprised of it, were they?
My understanding is that nobody within the realm of the Douglas family was advised of what was taking place.
And as far as the Daybell family, can you speak to that?
I can't speak for the Daybell family.
There was some mention of a detective who was related to Heather Daybell. Do you recall hearing that on the tape?
There was. Chad identified him, if you listened closely enough, Detective Hope.
Detective Hope?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And do you recall what the relation is between Detective Hope and Heather Daybell?
The relation, as he described it, was Chad's brother, Matt, and Heather had a daughter, and that their daughter married Detective Hope's son. A little convoluted, little long way around to get to the relationship there. That's my understanding.
Well, it's not unusual. And as an example, Springville, Utah is a very tight-knit, you know what I'm going to say.
I know where you're going, yes.
Very tight-knit community.
Sure.
Very deeply faith LDS community.
I would say that it is.
Okay. And in regards to Rexburg, St. Anthony, Salem, same thing. Very, very tight-knit community.
My understanding is that they're very similar communities, yes. Right.
And it's not unusual to have extended relatives and that everybody, for lack of a better word, everybody knows everybody else.
There are a lot of people that talk in smaller towns. I would agree with you on that.
Okay. Okay. Now, at the time, Chad made a comment, it's a simple situation. Do you recall him saying that on the tape?
It's on the tape.
Okay. And that discussion of a simple situation, what did you take that to mean?
I'll be honest, I don't know what he meant by a simple situation at that time.
Could it have been that he was merely reflecting that they had a family law attorney and that the family law attorney was going to take care of the simple situation?
I think it could have been any number of things. Okay. At that point in time. There was a lot going on, a lot of moving parts, and a lot of information starting to come out that didn't make a lot of sense.
Okay. There was also some mention of an officer allegedly harassing Leah. Did you hear that?
Yes. It sounds to me like there was an officer that may have been communicating with her or, in his terms, harassing her. I don't know what that was about.
And Leah is who?
Leah would be Chad's third child, second daughter.
And Leah lived where?
At that time, my understanding is she would have lived up in Idaho.
There's a discussion of Steve Schultz. And you know Steve Schultz?
I do know Steve Schultz.
Now, is there some, I don't know how to say this, is there some familial relationship with Steve Schultz in your family?
I am not related to Steve Schultz.
Okay. But you would describe him as a close friend?
Steve Schultz is a close friend of mine, yes.
And a close friend to Chad's as well?
Absolutely.
And both of you know him quite well?
We have known Steve for probably 12, 15 years. I'd say he's a good friend, good man.
Honorable man.
Yes. Okay.
The time that you came up to Rexburg for the visit, you recall talking about that with the prosecuting attorney?
Which visit are you referencing?
The one where, I think it was shortly after 2015, where you came up and were looking around and Chad took you over to be.
It would have been in 2016.
I'm sorry, 2016.
Please make sure to not talk at the same time as each other. Wait for his question to be finished. Thank you.
And as soon as I said that, I realized I did exactly what the judge told me not to do. So I'm going to slow down. So you went to the BYU campus at that point.
We did.
Did you happen to go to the BYU library?
I don't recall going to the BYU library. Specifically, he wanted to point out to me the conference center that was new on campus. But as far as the library goes, I don't recall if we went there or not.
Did you have any knowledge as to whether Chad made it an occasion to go to the BYU library on a regular basis?
I don't know what his habits were with that.
Okay. And Judge, could I just have a moment? May I?
You may.
And at the time when you showed up to see Chad at Tammy's passing, you went there obviously with Mr. Schultz, correct?
I did.
And at that point, Chad had indicated to you that he was all cried out. Is that right?
That was the expression, or as close to the expression that he used with me that I can recall.
Okay. And when he did the family prayer, was it your understanding that he was, he wanted to cry, he just wasn't crying?
I wasn't sure what he was doing at that moment. It didn't seem as conventional as I thought from my perspective.
Have you read any of his books?
I've had occasion to read a few of his books, yes.
And do you understand those books to be fiction or nonfiction?
When I first read them, my understanding is that they were stories that he had just made up. I later come to understand, and he told me that these were based on events that were to occur.
With some literary license, correct?
Likely.
Yeah. Embellishment in any event, correct?
I would presume so under the circumstances.
So if when you read his books initially, you felt that they were just nonfiction, correct?
It's a simple reading, yeah.
Right. And then you discovered that he has a pattern when he writes books. He draws from personal experiences, correct?
He has a tendency to draw from personal experiences, bring personal characters into based on people that he knows and or has had interaction with.
Right. He wrote a book about his, boy, she'll kill me if I say this, the oldest daughter, Emma?
Yes, sir.
There was a series about Emma. Is that right?
That were based loosely around. I think that's correct. Yeah.
And that was consistent with his pattern to write books and then either embellish or take some literary license, correct?
I would think that at first he wanted that to be the case, but as he explained to me, these are things that are going to be occurring and that will happen. I would say the literary licenses would come with who the characters are,
right,
and what the character development, maybe. Okay. I don't know for sure.
And on this issue, you talked a little bit about visions and some of these events that took place. Is that something, having visions and expressing those beliefs, something that's inconsistent with the LDS faith?
I would say with the general LDS faith of the general membership, that to have visions and to share them publicly is not something that's very common.
But to have visions?
I would think that people receive inspiration and guidance for themselves. I don't know that you would constitute them as visions, and I wouldn't say that everybody does, but I can't speak for a general populace of several million.
So, and that's fair.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's not the having guidance or having some inspiration or divine vision. What you have issue with, if I understand, is the expressing and telling people about those respective visions. Is that fair?
I would say that most people don't have expressive visions. I would think that that's not really the case. I would think that people have general inspiration with regards to their lives and what they might do, but probably not express them as much.
Okay.
And I can't speak for what everybody does. I don't know.
And to recoup a little bit, when you talk about Chad's books, when he's talking about individual characters, that's where you see him embellishing or taking literary license. Would that be fair?
I wouldn't say embellishing so much as literary license, in that you're going to change their name. You can't use somebody's specific name necessarily. Change their name, putting them in a character position of whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe for purposes of trying to sell the books, maybe flavor the stories a little bit so that they're a little more marketable, correct?
I can't speak to what he does. I did talk with him about his books often, and in cases of where it was at, he would finally tell me, no, these are how things are going to go. This is what's going to happen. These are how the characters are going to be. I don't know. I don't know what his end result was with it other than sell books. Sure.
Okay. But in terms of the predictions and the visions, that was him where he had a faith and belief in that, correct?
I think he did. Okay, I think he felt that was a direct, sorry.
No, I interrupted you.
You're good.
But in terms of the actual individual characters, that's where you could expand on things and make it a more marketable, correct?
If you're going public with something like that, possibly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Judge, that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor. Redirect, Mr. Wixom.
Thank you. Mr. William, you were asking a number of questions about a number of topics.
Yes, I was.
Do you recall questions about whether or not you had been informed about Tammy's exhumation?
I do recall.
As you sit there today, are you concerned at all that you weren't informed about Tammy's exhumation?
I'm not concerned that I wasn't informed. I would like to have known, certainly, but it wasn't a tipping point for me.
You were asked some questions about who is present at various law enforcement interviews that you've had?
Yes.
And if I heard you correctly, you don't remember any names. Is that right?
Having that thrown that question at me in that moment, I don't recall any names. If I search deep enough, I'm sure I could recall some names.
Let me ask this question. Reflecting back, let me withdraw that. To the best of your recollection, how many law enforcement contacts have you had relative to Chad?
I don't want to say the term a surprising number because that's not where I want to go, but I would say probably a 20-ish, maybe more. There have been a lot of individuals that we've talked to, that we've expressed challenges that we've had with, and I don't recall a certain number.
I want you to reflect back and think, during those law enforcement contacts, did any of those members of law enforcement in any way try to influence what you would say or do?
No, they did not.
Did you, in working with law enforcement, ever tell them anything that wasn't true, the best that you understood?
I did not.
Did you ever get any feeling that they were trying to influence you?
I have a brother who's a police officer. I've never felt intimidated by a police presence, and I didn't feel that they were doing anything more. The process of dealing with a lot of this until the kids were found was just, can we find some children? That was their primary concern, and that's what I felt they were trying to express and see what they could do.
In any of your interactions with law enforcement, did you ever have any inclination that they weren't sincere about the desire to find these children?
I did not.
Calling your attention to the December 18th law enforcement interaction when you made the phone call, either at any point in the interaction, did the phone number that you used to call Chad, did you make sure that law enforcement had that phone number?
I definitely did.
You were asked a lot of questions about Chad's book publishing.
Correct.
From 2015, 2014 forward, did you have any concerns about his book publishing and how they might be influencing Chad?
On his book publishing or authors he published? Or
any part of his book publishing that may have influenced Chad, or concerns, if you had those?
I was concerned with one particular author that he really seemed to push a little more, but that might be it.
You were asked about potential embellishment. I do want to draw your attention back to the La Jolla, California, and Flaming Gorge incidents we talked about earlier.
Yes.
I think you explained that originally they were experiences. At some point, Chad explained them to you as a near-death experience.
Correct.
Was there some point that Chad began talking about or teaching near-death experiences?
I would say yes.
About when was that?
I would say probably around the time frame that he moved from Utah to Idaho, that became more of a focus in talking about and dealing with near-death experiences, and had a couple of authors that had similar views.
Did that cause you any concern?
Initially, no, because I was fascinated a bit with that. But over time, as I thought and reflected on it, it became a little bit more of a concern because of the consistency and frequency and the number of people within the group that were still having those particular experiences.
Why were you concerned in that regard?
I was concerned because it just seemed like it was almost to an unhealthy level.
What do you mean by unhealthy?
It became a focus of sorts, that, and it did primarily that.
Mr. Pryor had asked you a question in relationship to Chad's statement in the phone call that was recorded about it being a simple situation. Do you remember that question?
I do.
At some point, did you learn that Kylie and JJ were buried in Chad's backyard?
I did.
Do you consider that a simple situation?
I think it's far from a simple situation.
Your Honor, I have no further questions.
All right, Mr. Pryor, any requests for recross?
Yes, Judge.
Yes, I'll allow some limited recross.
On the recording, again, we talked about the simple situation. You're talking about the end result as far as what happened with the two children, correct?
Correct.
But at the time on the tape recording, there was reference at least once or twice to a family law attorney. Isn't it true that you know Chad, wouldn't that imply that he believed that this was a custody matter?
I don't know what he implied by a simple situation. I can't speak for what his intention behind that was. He did give me an attorney's number. And at the time that was going on, I had met with law enforcement. I didn't feel it was a simple situation by that point. I don't know why he would state that.
Okay, but I'm not asking what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you, as someone who has known Chad for a significant amount of time,
mm-hmm.
for him to make a statement that it was a simple situation and then providing you with a family law attorney's information.
Objection, Your Honor. This is calling for speculation.
Sustain.
Okay. The prosecutor brought up on the number of people that were at that December 18th meeting. Do you physically recognize the prosecutor at the end of the table closest to me?
Asked and answered. Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Okay. Nothing else, Judge. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That will conclude the testimony then of Mr. Gwilliam. As I mentioned previously, not subject to the exclusionary order, so he can go ahead and step down. That concludes your testimony. I don't know if he'll be recalled or under subpoena. If there's anything anyone wants to tell him regarding a subpoena, you can do that. Otherwise, we'll just move on to the next witness.
You know, at this time, the state doesn't have an intention, but he's excluded from the exclusion order, so we don't have any concerns with releasing him from the subpoena today.
All right. Mr. Pryor, is he under subpoena on the defense?
Judge, he's not under subpoena. And I apologize. I was distracted. Did the state say that they're going to keep him available?
At this point, we'll release him. But okay.
No,
I'm not waiving,
Judge,
the right to perhaps call him later.
Okay. You are released from your subpoena then, based on the statement of the state. So you may go ahead and step down. Thank you for appearing and testifying. Who's going to be calling the next witness?
The state will call Samantha Gwilliam.
Very well. Is that you, Ms. Blake?
Yes, Your Honor.
Solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So, yes. So, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. On this witness again, no exclusionary order applying here. So, Ms. Blake, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please state your name for the record and spell it?
My name is Samantha Gwilliam, SamanthaGwilliam.
Ms. Gwilliam, are you related to Tammy Daybell?
Yes, I am.
How are you related to her?
She's my sister.
And do you know Chad Daybell?
Yes, I do.
How did you know him?
He was married to her.
Ms. Gwilliam, do you recall sometime around the end of 2019 being contacted by law enforcement in relation to a pet cemetery?
Yes.
Had you been to Tammy's house in Idaho?
Yes, I had.
How many locations did she live at in Idaho?
Just the one.
Had you seen the property?
Yes, I had.
Your Honor, we had previously stipulated to some photos that were taken of the Daybell property. And I have what's been marked as State's Exhibit 23A and also State's Exhibit 23F. I have a copy for counsel, one for the record, and a courtesy copy for Your Honor of each of those.
All right, I'll take a look.
And if the witness may be shown one of each.
I ended up with two 23Fs. I think the witness.
I have the same.
Yeah, let's try to sort these out. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Gwilliam, do you recognize what's in those photos?
Yes, I do.
And Your Honor, based on the fact that these were stipulated, the state would move for the admission of 23A and 23F.
Any objection?
No, Judge, these were stipulated too, and there's no objection.
Very well. So both 23A and 23F are now admitted.
Your Honor, may I publish State's Exhibit 23A first?
You may.
Do you recognize Let me back up. Are you aware whether or not Tammy had a pet cemetery?
She did.
Can you tell from this picture approximately where it would have been located?
There's two posts in the center of the picture. You can kind of see a tiny little black head of a dog statue. To the right of it in the picture is the fire pit. And then to the left, further along the edge of the picture, is the red barn.
And Your Honor, may I publish State's Exhibit 23F?
Yes.
And is that a closer view without the red barn in the picture?
Correct. And the fire pit is just to the right.
And where approximately was the pet cemetery located?
It was right there by where the dog was at. My niece's dog had passed away, so they buried it there along with a cat that they had been hit out on the highway, and I believe a duck as well.
Was it common for Tammy to have a pet cemetery?
Absolutely. We've had pets in our family for years, and they become like family. And when they pass away, we would bury them on our properties so that they were nearby us.
And did you know if Tammy continued to have pets into her adult life?
Absolutely.
Your Honor, I have what's been marked as State's Exhibit 298 now. Again, I have a copy for counsel, a courtesy copy for Your Honor, and a copy as the exhibit or proposed exhibit. May I have the witness shown a copy?
Yes, you may.
Ms. William, do you recognize who's in this photo?
Yes, I do.
Do you know approximately when this photo was taken?
In 2015-ish, it was a family picture. One of our neighbors took family pictures of the daybells.
Does this appear to be a close-up from one of the family photos?
Yes, it does.
Your Honor, I would move for admission of State's Exhibit 298.
No objection.
Very well. Exhibit 298 is admitted.
Permission to publish, please.
May I publish?
And again, Ms. William, who are we seeing here?
This is my sister, Tammy Daybell.
How many siblings do you and Tammy have?
There's five of us all together. I have three brothers, and Tammy was my only sister.
Where did Tammy fit in the line?
She was the second oldest.
So the two of you were the only girls?
Yeah.
Were you close growing up?
Yes. There's 4 years between us, so close enough that there was maybe minor squabbles, but we were more best friends.
Did you maintain that closeness into adulthood?
Yeah, we did. We saw each other, talked almost every day.
Do you recall when Tammy started dating Chad?
Yeah, I do.
Had you known Chad prior to them dating?
I didn't know him personally. I knew of him and his family. He had some brothers that I went to school with because I was younger.
Did you like Chad?
Yes, I did.
How did you feel he treated Tammy initially?
He was a good husband and father.
After Tammy was married, did you maintain contact with her?
Yes, we did.
Did Chad ultimately end up becoming friends with your husband?
Yes, he did.
And was their relationship close?
Yes, it was.
Prior to Tammy moving to Idaho, how close did the two of you live together?
We lived in the same neighborhood at one time across the street. And then as we kept purchasing homes in the same neighborhood, it was just, you know, around the block and then two blocks.
How often did you see Tammy prior to her moving?
We saw each other almost every day.
And was that when you both lived in Springville?
Yes.
How many kids do Tammy and Chad have?
They have five.
Did they have grandkids?
Yes.
Do you know, or were you aware if Tammy wanted to move to Idaho?
At the beginning, I do not believe she wanted to.
Prior to moving to Idaho, did Tammy work somewhere?
Yes, she worked at Springville High School as the special ed secretary.
And before that, had she worked somewhere else?
Yes, she worked at Art City Elementary. She was their computer technician, and she taught computer classes to all the students.
So both of those positions, she worked with children?
Yes.
And you talked about her working with computers. Was there something interesting about Tammy and computers?
Yes, she was very talented with those. She wasn't officially trained at a college or anything, but she just could figure them out. There'd be a new program that would come out, and she would learn it, and we would all ask her questions about how to use it.
When Chad and Tammy moved to Idaho, did Chad talk to you about potentially moving up there as well?
Yes, he said he had a vision that they should move up there.
And did he also want you to move up there?
Yes, he did.
Were you willing to do that?
We thought about it because I didn't want to be separated from my sister.
At some point, did you see an email in relation to Chad's views on why you wouldn't move up there?
Yeah, I did. I read an email that he sent that said that I had evil spirits that were keeping me from coming to Idaho to see that I should be up there. And it made me very unhappy.
When Tammy and Chad first got married, do you know what Chad did for a living?
He was going to school when they first got married, and he was also working at the Springville Parks Department on their cemetery crew.
Do you know, as part of his employment, if he was involved in digging graves?
Yes, he was.
At some point, did Chad hold a different position with the cemetery?
Yes, he was eventually the sexton there.
How did you find out about your sister passing away?
I received a phone call from Chad that morning.
What did he tell you?
He told me that she was really sick and had had a coughing fit and was in the bathroom throwing up around midnight, 1 o'clock. And then that morning, he woke up when she had fallen out of bed.
Were you surprised by this information?
Absolutely surprised.
Did it make any sense to you?
No, I had just seen her 2 weeks prior to that, and I had no idea that she was so sick that something like that would happen.
When you saw her 2 weeks earlier, how did she appear?
She looked perfectly healthy. Tammy had had a bout, and this has been a few years ago, when she was getting her depression under control, that she struggled with her health a little bit. But after that, she made a concerted effort, you know, to get on the right medication. And we had a Facebook group between her and I and my sister-in-law and another friend where we would check in, just, you know, keep each other accountable on staying healthy. So because of the struggle she had with that and us trying to keep each other accountable, that whenever I did see Tammy, I would do just a visual check. Not that I was, you know, just like I would do with my own children when I see them, like any mom would. Are you okay? You know, what did, you know, visual checks. She looked great.
Did you end up learning if she was participating in any activities?
Yeah, she was taking a clogging class. She was doing Zumba and she was prepping to run a 5K.
And outside of just her physical appearance, how did she seem mentally?
She was really happy. We had a great visit.
Do you recall her also performing some kind of a routine?
Yes. It was her and I and my parents were visiting at their house, and we did a mini talent show as middle-aged women for our parents. She did her clogging, and I showed them some of my stage combat because I was currently doing theater classes.
And as you were watching her perform the routine, did she seem short of breath?
No.
Any indication she was having any medical issues?
No. The only thing that she had complained about was her wrist. She had had some injury with it, and she was taking medication the doctor had prescribed her for it. And then my mom commented that it had been something that she had been on previously, too.
And how old was Tammy?
49, the same age that I am right now.
Did Tammy end up talking to you during her visit about you moving to Idaho?
She did. She wanted me to move
Judge,
up there.
Judge, I'm going
to
object. Calls for hearsay.
Sustained.
And Your Honor, if I may.
Just ask another question, please, Ms. Blake.
Did Tammy appear to be making plans for the future?
Yes, she did. She wanted me to
Judge,
move.
Judge, I'm going to object. It calls for hearsay.
Overruled.
She wanted me to apply for a theater teaching job in Idaho so that I could be close by her. We had always made plans to live by each other as we got older. And when she moved away, we were still trying to figure out ways to make that happen. It was our joke that we would be old ladies together, living side by side.
Having grown up with Tammy, would she go to the doctor?
Yes, she would.
Did she have any kind of an aversion to doctors?
No.
Are you aware if she would ever use any kind of homeopathic treatments?
All of us do.
In knowing her to use those, had she ever had any kind of an adverse reaction?
No.
Judge, I'm an object. Speculation. There hasn't been any foundation to suggest she has knowledge of every time she's used homeopathic medicine.
I'll sustain that. I think that would need to be narrowed down, Ms. Blake.
Based on your observations of Tammy using homeopathic medications, were you ever aware of her having an adverse reaction?
In my observations, I never saw her have an adverse reaction.
Would Tammy share with you some of her health issues if she had them?
Yes, she would.
Based on your observations of Tammy, did she take care of her health?
Yes, she did. It was something that she was very focused on.
When Tammy came to visit in October And that was October of 2019, is that correct?
Correct.
Was the visit planned?
It was a last minute visit. She sent me a text asking if I was going to be around that weekend.
Was there anything odd about that particular visit?
Originally, she said that Chad was going to come with her, but that he had to work.
I'm going to object. Motion to strike, hearsay.
Sustain, and I'll strike that answer.
Did Tammy come down with anyone else?
No, she traveled by herself.
Was that normal for Tammy?
No, it wasn't.
And why not?
She didn't like to drive by herself the long distance, so normally someone came with her.
When Tammy would come visit, was Chad usually with her?
Yes.
Did Chad's family also still live in the Springville area?
Yes, they do.
And on this visit, Chad did not come with her?
No, he did not.
Anything about her health that was the reason why she wouldn't drive long distances?
No, it was mostly for not being by herself.
When she came to visit, was there any indication that she had concerns about Chad having an affair?
No, she never gave any indication.
At some point, did you notice a change in Tammy and Chad's relationship?
It seemed strained, and I just didn't know if it was because of the event they were attending, if they were tired, but it felt off, and I didn't know why.
And do you recall approximately when that would have been?
That would have been June of 2019.
And where did you see them?
They stayed at my home.
So that was in Utah?
Yes, in Utah.
And again, Chad and your husband were friends as well?
Yes.
Was there anything about the interactions with you and your husband and Chad that seemed different?
He just seemed like he didn't want to talk and that he didn't want to be there, which was unusual for him.
Do you recall seeing Tammy again after June of 2019?
Yeah, she showed up at my house about two nights before my birthday. It was about 10:30 at night, which was unusual for one because Tammy always went to bed early. And she was bringing me a present for my birthday, and it was unexpected. I had no idea they were in town.
Did that seem odd that she hadn't told you she was in town?
Yeah, it seemed odd. The time seemed odd, and Chad stayed in the van the whole time she was in my house with the car running. So it made it feel like they were pressed for time and that she couldn't stay.
And what month was that?
July.
And that was of 2019 as well?
2019 as well.
Was it weird for Chad not to come in?
Yeah, it was really weird.
Had you and Chad had any kind of a falling out?
Not that I knew of.
Had Jason and Chad had any falling out you were aware of?
Not that I knew of.
Do you recall Tammy also coming for a visit in April of 2019?
Yes, I do.
Did Chad come with her on that visit?
No, he did not.
Was it your understanding he was going to?
I think he had to work, like he was going to, but had to work and couldn't come.
Did anyone travel down with Tammy that time?
Yes, all of her kids came, and we went to the aquarium with her kids and my parents and all the current grandchildren.
In seeing Tammy in April, June, July, and October of 2019, did you observe any signs of her slowing down?
No, I did not.
Did you observe any signs of her being sick?
No, I did not.
Did she complain of any health issues?
Other than her wrist hurting, no.
I think you previously indicated you found out about Tammy's passing from Chad, is that correct?
Correct.
Did you ever talk to Chad about an autopsy?
Yes, I did.
What did he tell you?
I asked him in a phone call that we had after she passed away and we were making funeral arrangements. I asked him, are you going to do an autopsy? And he said, no. And I said, why not? We don't know the reason why she died. And he said that the coroner told him that she looked peaceful.
I'm going to object at this point. It becomes hearsay at this point.
Sustain.
Your Honor, these are the defendant's statements.
Okay. I will revisit that ruling and overrule the objection based on that. Thank you, Ms. Blake.
You can continue. What did Chad say?
Chad said that the coroner told him that she looked peaceful. And that it looked like natural causes. So they said they weren't going to. He also stipulated that it would be a cost of $1,500 for him to do so, and it would hold things up. And they wanted to get the funeral done quickly.
Do you recall when the funeral was?
Tuesday.
And she passed away on a Saturday?
Correct.
Did that seem fast?
Yeah.
And where was Tammy buried?
In Springville, Utah.
Did that surprise you?
Yes, it did.
And why was that?
Because she resided in Rexburg with Chad and her children. And I asked Chad in that same phone call, why are you burying her in Springville when you all live in Rexburg? And he told me, we are covered with snow and ice for most of the year, and you will take good care of her.
Was there anything that struck you as odd about Tammy's headstone?
Yes, he requested that his name not be on it. I found that odd for somebody that was heavily into family history to not do so.
Judge, I'm going to object. This calls for here. It's a narrative. Excuse me.
I can ask a question.
Go ahead.
Why was that odd to you?
Because he was heavily involved in family history, and we look for headstones to find information about our ancestors, and to leave that off would mean that someone further down the line could not connect him to her.
Do you recall hosting a luncheon or a dinner the day before her funeral?
Yes, we were hosting a luncheon before the viewing so that we could feed them when they came down from Idaho.
And when you say feed them, who are you referring to?
Just referring to Chad and his kids.
Did they show up?
No.
Did you attend Tammy's viewing?
Yes, I did.
Do you recall speaking with Chad after the viewing or at the viewing?
Briefly.
Did he tell you anything in relation to Tammy's passing?
Yeah, he said that he had information that he wanted to tell me about Tammy's last week and how she'd felt like that her body was separated from herself. And he wanted to give me more information so that I would have comfort about her passing.
Did he tell you anything about having a vision that Tammy's mission was going to be complete?
Yes, he did.
Did he also indicate to you, but the vision was that she wasn't going to die?
That was what I took from the conversation.
And you said, or let me back up. Did you attend Tammy's funeral?
Yes.
Did Chad indicate anything about wanting to talk to you after the funeral?
That is what we thought was going to happen.
Did you in fact talk to Chad after the funeral?
No.
Why not?
He made himself unavailable.
At some point, did you learn Chad was remarried?
Yes, I did.
Do you recall how you learned that?
My husband, Jason, told me that he had talked
Judge, to Chad I'm gonna object on the at phone. This point.
Sustained.
Move to strike.
And I will strike that response.
Do you recall reaching out to Chad about a month after Tammy's passing?
Yes.
And did Jason also reach out to Chad?
Yes.
At some point, did Chad tell you his new wife's name?
Lori Ryan.
Did he indicate anything to you in relation to Lori Ryan having a previous spouse?
Yes, he said that her previous husband had died of a heart attack and that was why they connected. He told me that they both had lost a spouse and that was why they met up and had their marriage.
And you learned about the marriage approximately a month after your sister had passed away?
Correct.
At some point, did you learn when Chad had actually gotten married?
Yes, I did.
And when was that?
It was November 5th, 2 weeks after she was buried.
At some point, did you learn of another name associated with Lori Ryan?
I did.
What was that name?
Vallow.
And did you learn of some other names associated with Lori Vallow?
That there were children, JJ and Tylee.
At some point, did you talk to Chad or have a conversation with him about that?
Yes, I did.
And what did he tell you?
I asked him in a phone call, please tell me about this woman that you've replaced my sister with. And I asked him questions about her name because what we found out was different than what he told us. And he said, well, she had a complicated past and was trying to move on from it. And that's why they had told us the name that they had.
Judge, could we have some foundation as to when this phone call supposedly took place?
It took place December 13th.
And was that of 2019?
Correct.
Did you know where Chad was at that time?
I think he was in Hawaii.
At that same time, do you recall Chad telling you something about Tammy visiting him?
Yes.
What did he tell you?
because I was questioning him about this marriage, he asserted to me in this very, you know, spiritual-like tone that, Samantha, I am telling you now that when I was at the cemetery, Tammy showed herself to me and said that I should move on. And I responded with, when most women say that to their husband, it's in 2 years from now, not 2 weeks after I'm dead.
Judge argumentative.
Did you ask Chad about whether or not Lori had any minor children?
I did.
What did he end up telling you?
He told me that she had some adopted children, foster children, and older children. And I asked him, so when Mark comes home from his mission, will you be raising kids together? Because I was trying to figure out what adopted or foster children meant. And he said, no, we will be empty nesters. So I took that to mean that there were no young children.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you. Given the time, counsel, I think it's appropriate we take our lunch break before we begin with cross. So we'll go ahead and take the lunch recess at this time. We'll come back on at 1 o'clock for continued testimony with cross-examination.
All right, please. District court's again assessed.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, let's have our jurors brought in, please.
Yes, Your Honor. All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. We concluded our lunch break. We're back on the record on CR 22211623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. When we left, the state had just finished direct examination of Samantha Gwilliam. Defense now going to have cross. So if the witness would please take the chair here, we'll go ahead and commence with the cross-examination. All right, you can proceed, Mr. Pryor. And I will remind the witness, Ms. Gwilliam, you're still under oath for your testimony.
Thank you, Judge.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon. Ms. Gwilliam, do you have a recollection of how many times you've been interviewed as part of this investigation?
I don't know the exact amount. I've never counted.
Okay. Is it more than five?
Probably. Just sometimes it's just phone calls or a text asking questions.
And what
I don't know if that counts. Sorry, I just didn't know if that counts.
What I would like to count are actually in-person interviews is what I would like to refer to.
A handful. I don't know like the exact amount, but with trial prep.
Excluding the trial prep today, because I assume you spoke with the prosecuting attorneys yes. before you testified today. And isn't it true? You probably spoke to them over the lunch hour as well shortly.
No, I tried to keep myself apart from everybody at lunch because I'm still under oath. So
okay. All right. And the locations of those interviews varied. Is that true?
Yes.
On one occasion on June 4th of 2020, one of those interviews was in your home. Is that right?
Correct.
And present at one of those interviews was, do you recall which officer of agency?
I honestly, since we've dealt with so many of them, I don't recollect which agency came, if it was Fremont or Madison, or I'm not exactly sure who belongs to which department at this point, I'll be frank.
Okay. And then generally during those interviews, was your husband present?
Yes.
And generally during those interviews, other than your husband, would it involve maybe one or two or three other people interviewing you?
Occasionally, yes.
Okay. And on June 4th of 2020, you had an occasion to be interviewed by a number of officers, and you don't specifically recall which ones, though. Is that right?
I want to say, I'm going to be honest, I don't remember who it was that I talked to.
You remember the name Officer Hermosillo?
Yes.
Officer Ball?
Yes.
Does that refresh your
recollection? That sounds about right.
Does that refresh your recollection of who yes. interviewed you?
And I think maybe Bruce Mattingly was there.
And then is it possible as well that Mr. Wood was there for that interview?
Yes,
he was
in my front room.
Okay, so when he was
Hold on a sec. Ms. Gwilliam,
yes.
please wait till the question's done before you answer.
I can do that.
Excuse me. We need to talk only one at a time for the record, so please try to do that. Thank you.
Okay.
And once again, Judge, I did it as well, so I think that was baiting her on in some way. So, and during that interview with Officer Hermosillo and Prosecutor Wood was there as well, correct?
Correct.
And at the time, there were just a handful of you there, correct? Three or four of you?
I believe so.
Okay. And your husband was there as well, correct?
Correct.
Did he actually sit there with you during the interview?
Yes, he did.
So he would have been able to identify everybody who was there during that interview. Is that correct?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation.
Sustained.
Were the people who were there for that interview, as far as from your perception, all in plain sight of the other folks who were there for the interview?
Your Honor, may we approach?
Yes. All right, Mr. Pryor, you can continue. If you'd like the court reporter to read back that previous question, you may.
No, Judge, I'm going to move forward at this point.
Okay.
And again, Ms. Gwilliam, there was another meeting in December of, I believe, 2020 as well. Do you recall that?
Yes.
With law enforcement?
Yes.
Was that at a different location?
Yes.
And again, do you recall who was present for that meeting?
I stood outside of the room, and I was not present inside of what took place.
Okay. Now, you spoke briefly about the animals that were in the pet cemetery.
The ones that I knew of, yes.
Okay, and then that's, you're anticipating my question. You don't know all of the animals that were put in the pet cemetery, correct?
No, I do not.
Okay. And you testified earlier that it was Tammy who had one of these pet cemeteries at her home in Springville?
Yes.
And that was her habit to do that when animals would pass?
It's our family's habit.
Oh, it's your family's habit.
Yeah, we do. Our whole time growing up, we would have a cemetery for our pets.
And she continued that tradition.
Correct.
And she would have been the one who would have tendered that pet cemetery, cared for it, prepared it, all of such, correct?
On some occasions, I do remember one occasion in Springville where Chad helped us bury some pets too.
Okay. But primarily in Springville, it was Tammy's responsibility for care for the pet cemetery. Would that be fair?
I can't testify that it was just her. I don't know if her children helped either.
Okay. And you don't know who tendered or cared for the pet cemetery in their home in Rexburg area, correct?
No, I just know that they all lived there and they all had different pets that got buried there. So
okay,
you can make your own assumptions.
I don't want to make any assumptions. I just wanted to hear what you had to say about that.
I would be making assumptions as well. Okay.
So. And you'd be making assumptions about what kind of animals and when the animals would be put in there. Is that correct?
No, on the three that I talked about, Tammy told me about them.
Okay. I'm talking about other animals or other occasions.
Yeah, I don't know about them.
Now, you mentioned that Tammy was quite proficient with computers.
Correct.
Were you aware that she would have been the primary manager of the publishing company?
Yeah, for the most part, from what I knew, she was.
She did most of the...
the book work.
Right. Chad wrote the books and Tammy did everything else.
From my understanding, yes.
The name Steve Schultz came up.
Correct.
And that's someone that is that a family friend or is that someone you just know?
As a family friend.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that Tammy would go to the doctor if there was a medical issue that she needed to address. Would
Correct.
That be fair?
Yeah.
And that was something that she would do without hesitation?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. Now, you know her children, correct?
Yes, I do.
And can you give me their names?
Yeah, we have Garth, Emma, Seth, Leah, and Mark.
Okay. And Tammy did a wonderful job raising five wonderful children.
She was a wonderful mother.
And she did it. And if I could just finish my question.
Sorry.
That's okay. And did a wonderful job of raising these children. Is that correct?
Yes, she was a wonderful mother.
And these children are all deeply involved in their faith within the LDS Church, really as a result of a lot of Tammy's instruction. Would you agree with that?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation as well as relevance.
Sustained.
Judge, it's sustained on speculation or relevance?
Relevance.
Okay. Are you aware if the children are still practicing members of the LDS faith?
I believe they are, but I have not had contact with some of them.
And specifically, you did mention that you talked about Tammy and you discussed the idea that you folks kept track of what medications each of you were on, from what I understood. What medications was Tammy on?
She took something for her wrist and she was taking something for her depression.
That would be the only medication to your knowledge?
That's the only two that she told me about.
Okay. other than the homeopathic stuff that she would engage in occasionally, correct? Yep,
correct.
And that included essential oils?
I don't know. I never saw her use them, so I don't know what she used.
Okay. And you mentioned that Tammy went to bed early. What does that mean?
It was her habit from a young age that she was always the first one that would go to sleep.
You don't know specifically what time, just very early?
It would depend on the day, but 9 o'clock was always late, considered late for her.
Okay. And you did mention that she drove out to see you on, I think you mentioned like three occasions, or was it more than that?
Which year?
2019, July.
Yes.
And
four, if you count April.
Okay. And the vehicle that she would drive is what?
I don't recall what car she drove.
Okay. Did she stay at your house?
Yes, she did for a couple of the occasions.
Okay. And Judge, could I have something, the use of the Elmo? And I would like the bailiff to bring me 23A, 23F, it looks like.
Okay, we'll have those exhibits brought over, 23A and F.
With permission to publish those on Elmo?
Yeah, they're admitted and they may be published.
Thank you, Your Honor. Have a laser of some kind up there that you can see?
Do we have a pointer?
Is this?
Oh, okay, thank you.
You know how to use that? Because I don't.
It's on. It's working.
Okay, so I'm looking at a tree. Do you see that tree right in the forefront?
This one right here?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it looks like, and I don't want to describe it, but there's a dark area that's to the left of it. Do you see that?
This is the fire pit right here.
Okay, but before that, where the tree is, there's like a dark, it looks like, is that a shadow or is that part of the pet cemetery?
No, that's a shadow.
And that's a shadow coming, from what you can tell, that's a shadow that's coming off of the tree?
Yes.
Okay. So if you have the pointer, point to where the pet cemetery is.
Right here in the center. You can see the little dog statue right there.
Okay. And then which side of it is on of those posts?
It's on the left side.
So put the point, the red mark where that would be.
I just had it on there. Okay. That's it right there.
Okay. Thank you. And then in regards to the house, where would the house be? On which side?
The house is off to the left. So there's the red barn and then the home would have been over here.
Okay. And then as part of the house, there's the traditional part of the house and then there's a garage and there is a structure attached to the garage.
Yeah, they called it the cozy cone.
And that wasn't really the original part of the house, correct?
The previous owner had added it onto the house and there's stairs that go up to a room where they had musical instruments and Mark would sleep there.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
And that's to access, what did you call it? The cozy what?
They called it the cozy cone.
And because was that because of the nature?
It was because of the pitched roof.
Okay. Okay. And I'm going to try to slow down so we don't interrupt each other.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. And that cozy cone, you asked, and you've been inside the house, is that right?
Yes, I have.
And that cozy cone is accessed by going out into the garage. And then to
objection, Your Honor. Counsel's testifying. I'd move to strike.
Sustain.
You know how you would access.
Hold on, Ms. Pryor. Sustain. That question is stricken. Jurors to disregard. Thank you.
And do you know how you would access the cozy cone from the garage?
There's a hallway and a staircase that goes up. It's just through a doorway from the house. So it was like a hallway.
Okay. And that's what your recollection is?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And your recollection is it's a hallway that goes through the house, not through the garage?
It's part of the garage. There's a door from the kitchen, and you would just take a step down through the garage, and it was a hallway. It was connected.
Okay. And this hallway that you're speaking of is in the garage?
No, the hallway's not part of the garage. It was part of the annex for this attached structure.
Okay. And is this attached structure attached to the back of the garage?
Yes, and to the home. They're all connected.
Okay.
To one another.
And Judge, 23F.
All right, 23F's being published now.
Now, I again, if you could take the red pointer and show me exactly again where the pet cemetery is.
Well, you can see the dog statue right here.
Right.
And they'd put the fence post. Tammy had originally been trying to grow raspberries here. And they weren't taking the way she had wanted to. And since the soil was tilled, it was easier to bury pets.
Okay. And that was, you anticipated my question, and that was originally a...
raspberry patch.
I'll try, Judge. I'll try. Okay. And at that point, then, since the raspberries weren't taking, now that's that area that we're talking about. And Judge, if we could switch back to the other exhibit, if I may.
23A. Yeah, you can publish 23A again.
Thank you, Your Honor. And again, I see another tree in the very far back. Is that right?
Yes.
And there's an irrigation pond back there?
Correct.
And by this picture, it looks like it's a significant distance. Is it a significant distance?
Not that significant. They're all on the same property.
Okay. And are these trees and this pet cemetery are in the field in the back of the Daybell property? Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And I'm seeing on the very far back beyond the tree, there's some houses back there. Is that right? You see those?
Yeah.
Is that a road back there that leads, that eventually goes in front of the Daybell property?
There is a cross street that goes through most of that county.
Okay. And that's what that road is, correct?
Yes. It leads by the front of their home.
Okay. Okay. And Judge, if I could just have a moment, please.
Yes.
That's all I have, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
All right. Ms. Blake, does the state wish to redirect?
Yes, Your Honor. You were asked some questions about Chad and Tammy's kids, and I think you responded you really haven't been in contact with them.
Correct.
Why is that?
Because of the investigation that precipitated with the missing children. We got blamed for being a part of it. Chad?
There's no foundation to establish when we say we got blamed.
Sustained.
Prior to Tammy's passing, did you have contact with Chad and Tammy's kids?
Yes, I did.
Is it fair to say at least some of them were close with your family?
Yes, we raised our children together. And we did a lot together.
Subsequent to the investigation, did that contact change?
Yes.
Have you attempted to have contact with the children?
We have.
You were asked about the pet cemetery and whether or not you knew every pet buried in it. Do you recall that question?
Yes, I do.
And you indicated you knew of some pets that were buried around there?
Yes.
At some point, did you learn of something or someone else that was buried in Chad's backyard?
Yes.
And what was that?
Two children.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. That'll conclude the testimony then of Ms. Gwilliam. Feel free to take a moment if you need before you go ahead and step down. She's not subject to the exclusionary order, so I don't know if she's under subpoena or either side wishes to address whether or not a subpoena is in effect.
She is not under subpoena from the state, Your Honor. If she had been, we would release her at this point, but she is not subject to the exclusionary rule.
And Judge, she's not under subpoena from the defense, so there won't be any recall.
All right. Thank you. All right. We'll have the state call its next witness, if you would, and if you could tell me who the witness is and who will be examining the witness, please.
Your Honor, the state is going to call Nicole Heidemann. I will be examining the witness. I would ask if we could approach just briefly before this next witness.
Yes, you may. Okay, if you'd like to call your next witness, you may.
The state will call Nicole Heidemann.
All right. Tactical specialist, correct? Heidemann, it's been a while since you were here testifying, but you were previously here. Given the length of time, I am going to have the clerk please administer an oath again to you. Thank you.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Okay, thank you. You can be seated.
Thanks.
All right, tactical specialist Heidemann, if you would just confirm whether or not you've watched or observed any trial testimony since you were here earlier on in the trial and testified.
I have not, sir.
Okay, have you talked to anyone else, including anyone from your agency or any other law enforcement office, about testimony they have given?
No.
Okay, thank you for confirming that. Ms. Blake, when you're ready, you can direct.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. Heidemann, it's been a while since you were here before. Can you remind the ladies and gentlemen of the jury where you work?
I work for the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
And how long have you been employed with them?
Almost 16 years.
What is your current title or position?
Tactical specialist.
And at some point, did you become involved in the investigation regarding missing children?
I did.
As part of your role, were you asked to look specifically for evidence of wedding planning?
I was.
And who was that wedding planning in relation to?
Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow.
In looking for that, did you review phone data?
I did.
Did you review data recovered from search warrants?
Yes.
And the responsive documents to those?
Yes.
Did you discuss the case with other investigators, detectives, or officers?
Yes.
Did you also read reports of interviews?
I did.
And in preparation for your testimony today, did you create an exhibit?
Yes.
And Your Honor, I have what's been marked as State's Exhibit 185. I will indicate it is actually a jump drive. However, I do have copies of the PowerPoint printed out as well, one for defense counsel, a courtesy copy for Your Honor, and one for the court. I have a jump drive for the court and defense counsel.
Very well.
And if I may have the witness handed the paper copy, and if you, she handed one.
Thank you, sir.
And Ms. Heideman, would you look through those pages?
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.